you a little update. I appreciate you praying for us and praying for my surgeries. Seems like my body is ready just to give up, but I'm not. So I've been struggling with that. I have had a lot of doctors tell me a lot of different things. They told me they could not do anything for my back, that I was going to be paralyzed sometime in the near future. I said, don't sound bad. I can ask Jennifer to bring me whatever I want, and she can't slap me. So I said, it's a blessing in disguise. The doctors love the attitude I have towards it, but they actually have done a couple of things now. I've been seeing some different doctors. Been going to the Ohio State University to the doctors there, and they have been helping out a lot. I have had two knee surgeries to date. They want to do another one. I just got a brace in. I had to take it off today. If you look at me, and I'm shaking up here. I'm not trying to do the gig. My ACL is completely ruptured loose, and it shakes my knee. So be praying about that I don't collapse on the stage. It'd be pretty funny. But I sit there tonight, and I tell you to be praying. I got to have enough, a couple of those surgeries. They on my knee. They're going to eventually get around to completely replacing my knee. But now I've sat Wednesday before we came down here in a slew of doctors, seven different neurologists. I wonder what that cost my insurance. Sitting there talking to me and telling me the option they have for my back. They said if I do not have a back surgery by this time next year, I will not be walking. And I said, okay. So it sounds to me that I need to have back surgery. And they said, yes, we got one doctor that is going to meet with him. I have not met with him yet. Before Christmas, he's going to sit there and look at it. I have got complete nerve damage in my legs. I cannot feel my left leg at all. My right leg from my knee down on the front side, I cannot feel at all. They were shooting me with electricity, Brother Butch, and I said, hey, it don't hurt. They were sticking needles in there, and they said, your leg won't even move. I said, well, so what? But we're sitting there going through all the things, and they told me I need to be seriously considering watching what I'm doing, consider watching what might happen. They said, I want you to know, Brother Hollis, that, well, I've been talking to them. They did call me Brother Hollis. They said, I want you to understand, Brother Hollis, that this can kill you. I said, okay. I'm going to heaven. Praise God. But as all that's going on, I've got one doctor said he's going to do something. He's going to open up S1 in my back, try to get some pressure off my sciatic nerve. That way I might not, if you will, be paralyzed come next year. So be praying about that, and I thank you for praying for us this long. It's been a journey, but we're not giving up. We're going to keep serving God no matter what. I think about Paul, how he just said, hey, as I'm going through all this, as I'm going through all these trials, I'm just going to find pleasure in God. So I'm going to tell you, I just keep finding pleasure in God, and that's what I'm going to keep doing. Let's take our Bibles tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to come and preach at Clearview Baptist Church. I told them this morning in Sunday school, this is like coming home to me. We came down here, we saw our families. But I'm going to tell you, this church means a lot to us. This church to me is a lot. I appreciate Pastor Neb Shield, Brother David Nichols, each and every one of you, Brother David Hanna. I mean, I can hit their names tonight that I can tell you have had an influence on our life, and we appreciate your friendship greatly. And thank you for the opportunity we had to preach here tonight. We've been talking a lot about Christmas, right? Who loves Christmas time? I love Christmas time. I mean, Christmas, as a young kid, I always just sat there and waited on what present I could open, what I was going to get. Am I going to get what I asked for? And by the way, I never did. But as I sit there and I think about that, and I still don't now. Jennifer, don't give me nothing to ask for. Why? Because I don't ask for anything. But as I sit there tonight, I say, okay, what does that mean to me? Well, as I got older, the Christmas story changed a lot different to me. What about what I can get is what I already have. It's about what Jesus Christ has already given me, the greatest gift. Praise God for the message this morning. The greatest gift God ever given us was His Son Himself to die on that cross of Calvary for us. And praise God for that. But as I look through Luke chapter number 2, that's where you had in your Bible, Luke chapter number 2. As I look through there, there's one verse that really stands out to me a lot. We know the Christmas story very well. Most of us probably can quote it. But when you look at Luke chapter number 2, and we read verse number 7, it said, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Notice this, because there was no room for them in the inn. I sit there tonight, and I tell you, we all sit there and say, oh, that sorry innkeeper. But I ask you not before we pray, do we have room for him in our lives? I mean, we like to put him down, but do we have the kind of room that we should have for Jesus? I'm going to preach a message I'm entitled, No Room for Jesus Tonight. Let's pray. Then, Father, we thank you for this day. Lord God, we just thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord God, to come together in your house tonight, Lord God, in the place where we can come in this fellowship, sing songs to you, praise you, Lord God. God, but most importantly, Lord God, open your word. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would help us, Lord God, as we're looking into your word. And we sit here, we see the Christmas story, and we see verse number 7. Well, maybe we question ourselves. Do I have the room I should have in my life for the Lord Jesus Christ? And I question myself, this holiday season, this Christmas time that we're selling about, it's all about Christ. But in my life, am I having too much going on that I'm pushing Christ out of my life? Is my little black book so full? I don't have time to truly worship the King. A lot of questions we can ask ourselves tonight, Lord God, and I pray tonight, Lord God, you just speak to our hearts and our hearts and minds to be open to hear from you. And Lord God, we would be responsive to your will and to your word tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord God, that we can make room for you in our life this Christmas season. That we would sit there tonight and say, oh, Lord God, I'm surrendered unto you. Lord, I'm praising you. I'm celebrating you, Lord God, in your coming to this earth. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, if there's a dear friend here that knows you not as their Lord and Savior, Lord God, I pray tonight they would not leave this place before they come to know you, before it's eternally too late. Lord God, for us Christians in here tonight, I wonder, would you speak to our hearts? Lord God, would you make us see we need to give you more room in every aspect of our life? There's not a one in here tonight, Lord God, and we know it, that can sit there and say, oh, I'm completely surrendered. I'm going to do whatever. All my time is about God. Lord, if we'd be honest tonight with ourselves and with you, we would know it's not. And I pray tonight, Lord God, you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. As I sit down and think about the Christmas story, I used to remember the time when we used to have the Christmas story in the kids' play. Anybody else was in kids' play over the Christmas story? You used to sit there and you would act out the Christmas story of Luke 2 in the church. Anybody else in there? I remember them times when they used to sit there and say, I want you to be the innkeeper. I remember one time my mother and father was the ones that was heading up, if you will, the programming of the play. And they said, Brian, we want you to be the innkeeper. And I said, oh, no, that ain't going to happen. And they said, oh, Brian, you want to be the innkeeper? I'm telling you, he don't have very many lines. I said, but let me tell you what he does have. He has a bad line. And they said, what do you mean? I said, I'd rather be a wise man. I'd rather be somebody that comes in and hands you some gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I just want to stand there. I don't care about the line. I want to make sure I'm doing something right. And my daddy said, Brian, what are you talking about? He has a line. He had a purpose of being there. I said, but daddy, his line was, there's no room for Jesus. And he said, well, never thought about it that way, son. But I'm going to tell you today, as we sit there and we talk about that old innkeeper, there's no room for Jesus. We need to ask ourselves, do we have room for Jesus the way we should? So let's look at four things tonight. Let's look at number one. We have no room for him in our nation. We have no room for the Lord Jesus Christ in our country anymore. There's so many people right now trying to throw Jesus out of everything. And there's so many Christians, if you will, that sit there and just say, well, we got to accept it. I'm going to tell you, I don't have to accept anything. There's going to be room for Jesus in my house. There's going to be room for Jesus in my life. And I'm going to tell you tonight, we need to sit there and say, it's time for us Christians to sit there and say, we're going to make room for Jesus in our nation, in our country, in our land, because he's been thrown out in so many different things. Think about that tonight, what the Lord Jesus Christ has been thrown out of in your lifetime. Been thrown out the public school system. Ten Commandments, thrown out the courthouse. A few years ago, they told them down in Texas they couldn't even have a nativity scene out there. Get him out of here. I'm going to tell you tonight, too many times people said, well, we have to do what they tell us to do. No, I have to do what the Bible tells me to do. And the Bible tells me to honor him and to respect him and to praise him. I'm going to tell you tonight, we need to sit there and say, I'm going to sit there and tell you that I'm going to have time for Jesus in our country's life. Think about what our country was founded upon. Our country was founded by a group of people that decided they wanted to worship God. Not only worship God in church, but in class. They wanted to know all about God. They wanted to praise God. But it seems like we had little by little crowded God out of everything. Here in our country. In the land that we say, the land of the free. Proud to be an American. I thank God I'm an American citizen. I thank God I live in the country that is free. I have lived in different countries. I'm going to tell you, it's not fun. Living down a country like Bolivia, South America, was a little bit different. They told you what you could and could not do. They told you what you could and cannot say. We still said what we wanted to say. I just speak some country Spanish, and they didn't understand me at that time. But as I sit there tonight, I'm going to tell you, we need to sit there and say, I'm tired of people sitting there putting down his old innkeeper saying there's no room for Jesus when people are sitting in pews all across this country, all across this land tonight saying, there's no room for God in my life. There's no room for God in my country. But I'm going to tell you right now, this country was founded by God and we need to start standing for God. It's time for us to stand up this Christmas season and be a great time. He gave us the greatest gift ever given, Pastor. And it'd be a great time for us this season to sit there and say, I'm going to give him a little something back. I'm going to stop sitting by the wayside and let them run over my beliefs in the Word of God, the doctrine from the Word of God. I'm going to sit there and tell them what is right or morally right or wrong according to the Word of God. There's going to be room for Jesus in my country. What's it take? Brother Butch, it takes people sitting in pews like churches like this one that sits and say, I'm fed up. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say there's room for God in my life. There's room for the Savior in my life. And I'm going to sit there and start proclaiming it to others. We have no room for him in our nation. But not only do we have no room for him in our nation, number two, we have no room for him in our businesses. We have no room for him in our businesses. What do you mean by that, preacher? In most people's mind, the goal of their business is to do what? Make the old, almighty dollar. It's all about making enough to have a good life. You know, there's nothing wrong with making enough to have a good life. But when we take the most important thing out of any aspect of our life, and the most important thing being the Lord God, and we push him to the wayside all for a lousy dollar, if you will, and making sure we have no room for him in our business. I remember times when we used to sit there at work. I remember different jobs I've had where we would sit there and I would say, hey guys, you mind if we pray? I remember when I used to drive a truck, and before I'd get in that truck to go out and make a dollar for FedEx Ground. Before I got behind that steering wheel, I would say, Lord God, every dollar I make belongs to you. Lord, I pray that you would help me in this drive. I would ask God to make sure that whatever I do as that night goes by, as I was driving across the country at night, I would say, Lord God, whatever I do, I want you to be honored in it. But I'm going to tell you, too many times there's no room for Jesus in our business because we're all after what drives us, dollars. You know, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Don't say money itself is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that love money. Brother Hewitt, there's a lot of people that would do a lot of things for money. For an illustration, I had a guy the other day. There was a guy that made pepper extract, a little bitty jar, Pastor, about that tall. And in that little jar, he said there was 50 different peppers, starting with the Carolina Reaper. Then it had the scorpion pepper. And then it had the ghost pepper, the world's three hottest peppers in there. And he took a little bit, and he said, "Ooh, man, that hurt." He said, "My stomach felt like it's on fire." I said, "Man, I don't want to try it." And he said, "Well, let me tell you, if you have paid me $25, I drink the whole jar." Well, being the good sport I am, I pulled my wallet out. And I said, "I want to see this." But real quick, he said, no, I can't do it. I might die." I said, "Your life worth $25? I mean, is all your value is $25 in your life?" He said, "Well, maybe 50. Be honest, I would have probably paid you 50, but he backed down on that as well. But as I sit there tonight and think about it, I'm going to tell you tonight, there's no room for the Lord in our lives or in our businesses because we sit there and we put our mind upon the things that our flesh desires. We sit there and say, hey, I want what I want. I don't want what God wants. Meaning there's no room for Jesus in our business. Number three, and I'm going to get to number three and four are going to take a little bit longer. I'll probably go over a little bit. I hope I don't. We'll try not to. Number three, we have no room for him in our churches across America today. You say, oh, preacher, we have room for God in our churches. No, we don't have room for God, the Savior, in our churches the way we should. So think about that. I think about Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14 through 17, when the Bible says, "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Notice this, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. For then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good, and have no need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I'm going to tell you right now, we have everything in churches across America. We have everything that we think we need, but we do not have the main thing. The church of God, and I thank God for this church here, Clearview Baptist Church, that puts an emphasis, has a pastor that leads us from the Word of God, and he stands upon the Word of God. But the churches all across this country today that have kicked God to the wayside and has brought in their own agenda. They have a certain, if you will, schedule that has to be kept. They don't have a desire to let the Holy Spirit move. I appreciate Brother Paul a moment ago. Where's he at? We're going to play this music the way the Spirit leads us. Man, praise God for that. Because we need to be Spirit-led. I was in a church one time up in Ridgeview Baptist Church right outside of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And the pastor sat there, and I liked it because he sat there and he said, you know, we don't have a schedule. He said, our schedule maker is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sat there and he started speaking, and he said, Sister Susan, you got to know them Tennessee people. He said, Sister Susan, why don't you come on up here and sing that song I like? What song he liked? And she got up there and she started singing. And he said, man, that was good. The Spirit wants to hear another one. He asked somebody else to come up there and sing, and they started singing. He said, we'll get around to preaching sometime, but I'm going to tell you, I feel like this was God having it. And she started singing a song. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Mike, what happened. While she was singing, the Holy Spirit moved, and that foster was full. There were people weeping. There were people getting right with God. There was a father who just lost his wife 3 months earlier, and he was sitting there, and he was weeping. He said, I've been bitter with God. I pushed God out of my life. But because he was being led by the Spirit. A church that was sitting there saying, I'm going to do what God would have me to do. I'm not going to kick God out. I'm going to ask God to come in and God to lead us. And God showed up and showed out. I'm going to tell you tonight, God is tired of lukewarm churches. He wants churches on fire for God. He wants churches that say, I'm going to do what God would have me to do. He wants churches to go out and soul win. Thank God for this church as being a soul winning church. As Pastor mentioned, we were actually brought to this church because somebody, Pastor Nepshield and David Hanna, Brother Hanna back there, came by our house and knocked the door. My wife, my little sister, were home. I was away working. They heard and talked to the pastor and Brother Hanna back there, and they said, Brian, I think we found a church to go to. And they showed up. I was a good husband. I sent them on. Amen. I sent them on here to see if it was a good church. And she came back. She said, that's the kind of church you're going to like. We just felt welcome. And they even remembered my name. I'm like, wow. They remembered your name? I can't do that half the time. But they came in, and I came in. I remember the first service I came to the church was an Easter morning. I sat right back there about where Colin Hanna at, Brother Hanna, young Brother Hanna. I still going to get to me right there. Seen him do too much to me calling Brother Hanna yet. But as I sit there tonight, I'll tell you, I remember sitting there, and I remember the Word of God being preached. I remember the man of God sitting here preaching the Word of God without hesitant, without any sitting there, if you will, watering it down. I said, man. And I said, I want to get in soul winning. I want to do what God would have me to do. I thank God for churches who have not kicked him out of the church. But I'm going to tell you, we need to be praying because too many churches are throwing God to the wayside. That just like that innkeeper saying, there's no room for Jesus. It's all about me. Anybody saw this guy that's been on YouTube? Somebody sent me something the other day. His name is, I can't remember his whole name, how I put it, but he's a preacher that sits there and he preaches. And the other day he had a guy bring up a Christmas tree. This is something they sent to me. Pastor, they had him bring a Christmas tree right to the edge of the platform. And he said, you see that thing right there? And all of them sitting there saying, yeah, big congregation. And they said, that thing right there, I bet you everybody has in your house. Most of them in the congregation said, well, yeah, we love Christmas. There's nothing wrong with having a tree in my house. And he said, I bet you most of you have a nativity scene. Matter of fact, the church I'm preaching in right now has a nativity scene. Hell yeah. all sitting there talking in the background. And he said, let me tell you something. Christmas is of Satan. Said, what? What is the first word in Christmas? Christ. I'm sitting there and I'm getting confused. And he said, all the money you're wasting, all the things you're doing there. He said, I'm going to tell you, at my church, we give to me for Christmas. Brother Mike, I sat down and listened to that man. I said, listen to the heresy. And you know what I heard in the pews? Amen, preacher. They passed the plate around, and I'm watching this going, wow. Look what's happening in the country we live in. Look what's happening in the day and time that I live in, that you live in. There's people taking the Word of God and turning it to fit their pocketbook. They're kicking God out of the church and bringing in profit of their self. Wow. And lastly tonight, the one that hit us most of all, we have no room for him in our personal life. We have no room for him in our personal life. I'm going to tell you, we find time to do what we really want to do, do we not? How many of us here find time if we want to go fishing? I mean, we might have a honey-do list 10 miles long. We might have to do all kinds of things. But if somebody, one of our buddies, call them and say, hey, the fish are biting down there, I think I can find time. But what happens when one of our buddies calls up and say, hey, there's a revival tonight at the Clearview Baptist Church? Well, you know, my wife, she's been on me about that honey-do list. And if I don't get them dishes washed, she might not cook anymore. I mean, my wife, she's been telling me for a while I needed to do this or that. We find time to do what we want to do. I'm going to ask you tonight, do we have a place, if you will, room for him in our personal life? Too many times we push off. Too many times we sit there and we say, no, it's my time. I thank God that this church is having church Christmas morning. Praise God, because Christmas is all about Christ in the first place. But I knew he was going through anyhow. But this church is all about preaching the Word of God. But I wonder, come Christmas morning, what Christmas is all about, the Savior. How many people will find an excuse not to be here? How many people will sit there and say, well, it is Christmas. How dare that pastor ask me to show up in church? Who's been there before? I raised my hand. Hey, how dare that person, think I'm going to stop doing what I want to do? To go and celebrate the risen Savior. You know what we're saying? Brother Ethan was saying, I have no room for Jesus in my life. It's all about what I want. That's the society we live in today. It's all about what I want. I'm going to tell you, no, it's not all about what I want. It's all about what I should be doing, and that is praising our Savior. I'm going to tell you tonight, we need to sit there and say, hey, I thank God my church is open on Christmas. I thank God that I get to come and serve my God. I thank God that I have room for Jesus in my life. But I wonder if we would ask ourselves this for a moment. How much room do I really have for Jesus in my life? I want you to blank out every other thought you had just for a moment. I want you to sit there and think about, if you will, your little fake black book. Think about how much you're going to do this week that you want to do. Think about how much you're going to do this week that might benefit you. How many times are you going to do something to benefit God? You got room for Jesus? Think about this week. Don't want until Thursday night. What are you doing Thursday night? Got time for Jesus? You got time to go to McAllister's or whatever restaurant you want to go to? You got time to do this? You got time to do that? But do you have time for Jesus? Going to be two choir practices this week. How dare Brother Crow ask us to practice music that's going to glorify God, might lead somebody to the Lord in the Christmas cantata? How dare him take away my time? You got time for Jesus? Something to think about. How much time do I really have? How much room do I have in my life for the Lord? It's time for us to yield to ourselves or to die to ourselves and start yielding to God and saying, Lord God, take my life. Lord God, allow me to be used for you. Lord God, allow my time done to be bringing honor and glory to your name. I ask you, this year, Sunday morning, December 25th, where are you going to be at? Something to think about. Well, I know where that man will be. Standing right up here, prepared a message that God has laid upon his heart. God has given him exactly what he would have someone in this congregation to hear. But maybe that person is sitting there saying, today is all about the sweet potato pie. Today is all about what I want. Today is about opening presents. Today is about family. No, Christmas is all about Christ. I wonder, do you have room for Jesus in your life? You can tell what you have room for. Because you have room for it, you make it a priority. I think all the way back here in Bethlehem now, we put down this innkeeper. Because he had no room for Jesus. So I want you to think about what's going on. Here we come, Mary and Joseph coming onto the scene, coming, if you will, to pay taxes, if you will. I mean, she's big, she's pregnant, she's ready to birth. Joseph was a very, if you will, great husband. I don't know if I want to travel with my wife that far, the way they had to travel in that time, to go anywhere. I don't know if I want to travel with my wife pregnant that long in a car. But I sit there tonight and I tell you, I think about that. And here, Joseph and Mary are showing up on the scene, and man, it was time. It was time for the Messiah to enter into this world. The one that had been prophesied, the one who had been told would be coming. And here it is, that time, and they go around and they ask him, hey, do you got a place? We're about to have a kid. I mean, just picture this now. The King of Kings is about to enter into this world. Do you have a room? There's no room in the inn. Well, what will we give you? We'll give you a little manger down the road. Go out back. Go back there where the cow is going to have her kids. Go back there where that nagging goat is. We don't want nothing to do with you. We ain't got room for you here. We don't take American Express, if you will. They sit there and they're saying, hey, we don't have time for that. We're guilty as well. We don't have time for that. Why? Because we put too much of an emphasis on what we want. We put too much of an emphasis on our busy schedule. We put too much of an emphasis on taking us away from what we should be doing and saying, I want my time. I tell you tonight, we only got so much time here on this earth. And the time we have, we need to sit there and say, I want my time that I have here to count for something. I want my time that I have here, the breath that I have, to sit here and be able to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. You know what we need? We need to have a Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1 and 2 kind of attitude. Where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. But you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to have our minds transformed in this year, Christmas time, and say, it's not about me. It's not about what I got. I need to make room for God in my life. Child of God, tonight you need to make room for God. If it's all about your parties, it's all about your benefits, it's all about what you can get, you're looking at Christmas the wrong way. You ain't got room for him. Don't put down that innkeeper. Don't sit there and say, that's sorry, man. Turn away my Savior. One of the night we ask ourselves a question, how many times have I turned him away? By saying, I'm not going there. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to soul winning. I'm not going to that function at church. I'm not going to sing in that Christmas cantata. I'm not going to listen to that pastor. I'm going to do what I want. Tonight, do you have room for him in your personal life? Question. If Jesus Christ is sitting here right now, and he was to sit there and look at your little black book, if you will, how much time do you have for him? Great question to think about tonight. Because we fill it up. We put so much of our own desires there. And tonight, I'm going to ask you this with a closing. How much room do you have? It does good tonight to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord God, allow me to make room for thee. Allow me to make room in my life for you. I want to give you a gift because you've given me the greatest one ever given. You've got gave me salvation. You gave yourself on that cross of Calvary. You came to this miserable world for us. And all I want to do, matter of fact, is my reasonable service, is to be a living sacrifice unto you. I want to sit there and live my life to glorify your name. I want your will. Oh, wow, preacher. I'm not going to ask God to have his will in my life. That might mean I have to do something I don't want to do. You know what? I want God's will. Because not only is God's will perfect, God's will is the will that I want for my life. It's always perfect. It's always placed in the right timing. And tonight I wonder, will the people come and say, Lord God, I want your will. I want to make time in my life. I want to sit there and give you just a small portion back of what you give me. I love each and every time somebody prays for the offering. They say, Father, would you just take back a small portion of what you have so graciously given us? We ask that for our money. Brother Cecil, but we don't ask that much for our time. We don't say, Lord God, let me just give you a little bit back. We say, Lord, that's mine. You can have me every now and then. I'll be a good Sunday morning Christian, but don't ask anything else. I'm going to tell you now, we need to sit there and ask ourselves, how much room do I have for Jesus in my personal life? Would you bow your head and close your eyes this evening? No one's looking around. We sit there tonight, we think about that.